Gets Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of Westerns. Later on, it's Jimmy Stewart as the Six Shooter. But first, John Daner stars as the Frontier Gentleman in an episode called The Education of Kid Yancey, a CBS broadcast from the 6th of July, 1958.
In Cheyenne, Wyoming Territory, I learned a little about trail herders and a lot more about the education of Kid Yancey.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
My friend Terry Chase of the Cheyenne Daily Press had mentioned to me that a herd of Texas cattle was expected in town, and with it, its dozen or so trail drivers. They had followed the Texas trail from San Antonio across those great plains into Oklahoma Territory, Kansas, Nebraska, fording rivers like the Brazos, the Trinity, Red River, the Washita, Cimarron, Arkansas, Smoky Hill, the South Platte. 2,000 animals traveling 1,000 miles, and 12 men to bring them safely in. The day of their arrival, I was being shaved in a barber shop, one of the several which served the local and transient population of Cheyenne. Suddenly, the mugs and bottles on the barber's shelf began to tremble. The air was shattered with the sound of voices bellowing, shrieking, howling. The hand of Mr. Winters, my barber, began to shake. What is it?
Texan.
What?
Texians.
Oh.
Yeah, they ain't started shooting up the place yet. Maybe this time they'll let us alone. I guess not.
Oh.
Mister, I'm sorry. I surely am, but I tell you, when those fellas come to town for a blowout, a shooting and a hollering, it boogers the wax right out of me.
Do they cause much trouble?
Trouble? You see them holes in the ceiling?
Eh?
A couple of months back, three of them come in here for to get cleaned up. Before they was gone, they drunk up three bottles of liniment, emptied out their shooting irons up there. One of them stripped clean naked, poured a dozen bottles of pompadour oil over himself, then got chased down the street by the other two. I never did get paid for one nickel of it.
I'd like to have seen that.
I'll tell you, half of Cheyenne did. You tell three women fainted dead away. I'm just hoping ain't none of them going to come in here this trip.
Well, I should imagine that after a 1,000-mile cattle drive, they're rather inclined to let go.
Mister, you ain't seen nothing till you seen a Texas cowpuncher letting go. Right now, they'll be up in the saloons heisting a glass or two, just enough to get the dust out of their throats. And they'll head for the nearest barber and get the wool cleaned up. After that, the real fun starts. Why, some of them boys has got $200-$300 to spend. And it sure don't take them long to do it.
Then what happens?
Day, maybe two, and they're busted. And they hit the trail for another 6 months' work till they ride back again. That's the way it goes.
I tell you, Nick, first I've got to get me a shave.
Now, kid, you cut off them straggle feathers of yarn. Ain't never going to see the light of day again. Let them be.
Morning, gents.
Good morning, Mr. Bossman.
Cool your saddles. Won't be but a few minutes.
Yeah, well, now we ain't got too much time, mister. We all got to be getting up to the whiskey mill.
Now, sit down, kid. You ain't going to no whiskey mill.
Oh, now, look out here, Nick. I told you
and
I was
gonna... told you, boy. Promised your ma I was going to watch out for you, and I ain't going back on it. Ain't gonna be no whiskey and no women.
Yeah, but this here Cheyenne, Nick, why, I heard that
I don't matter none what you heard.
You boys been in town long?
Nope.
We just rode in. Can you all hear us going by? We sure was bellowing fine and loud, man.
You Texas boys?
We sure are.
Now, there ain't gonna be no trouble in here.
Shoot, mister, we don't aim make no trouble. Kidding me, we just figured to prettify ourselves.
Why, sure.
Are you the gentleman who brought in that herd from San Antonio?
Us and the other boys, yes, sir.
Well, I wonder if I can talk to you about that.
Talk? Ain't nothing much to talk about, mister. We just grub them up same as we always do, that's all.
I'm a newspaper man. I'd like to buy you a drink, get some material for a story on trail herding.
Now, that's a mighty fine idea, ain't it, Nick?
Not for you, it ain't, kid.
Oh, man, I swear, one of these days I'm just gonna cut out your lights if you don't quit riding lying on me.
There you are, mister.
That's fine. Thanks very much.
Oh, thank you. Next.
I want a real artistic scrape and a proper curry.
Kid don't need no shave. Just pluck the wool off him.
Yes, sir.
My name is J.B. Kendall.
Howdy. Nick Carmody. That the Yearlin's Kid Yancey.
Howdy, Kendall.
Ain't got a bottle on you, have you, pard?
No, I'm afraid not.
Listen, kid, while you're getting fixed up, I'll waltz on over to the store and get me some tobacco.
Sure. All right, Nick.
You don't go flagging your kite out of here the minute I'm gone, because I got your dinero. You ain't going to get far in this man's town without it.
I ain't going nowhere, Nick.
All right. Want to come with me, Kendall?
Yes, I'd like to.
I'll tell you what it's like when we hit a dry stretch. Get so's them cows ain't got no spit left. Like to keel over. But if they smell water, he'll go 20, 30 miles at the trot after it. Which is just what I'm going to do. Except I'll take that drink you was offering. Where's the closest?
Bill's place, a few doors down.
Hey, man. Playing Mother Nellie to the kid can sure give a man thirst.
Are you related?
No. His ma didn't want him to go. His pa said he should. His pa's the old man down San Antonio.
Old man?
Owns the outfit.
Ah.
Told me to keep an eye out for the boy. No drinking, no women. Said it'd break his mother's heart. You ever try riding herd on a snuffy kid that's got a mind to be a man?
I can't say that I have.
And never again. I give my word I'd do it, but never again. I'd as soon twist a loco bronc. Just one good shot of scamper juice and I'll be a new man.
Mr. Carmody's intentions were good, but one good shot led to another, and that was in turn followed by two more. 10 minutes later, the cowhand had discovered that walking was a lost art. Tearfully, he begged me to return to the barbershop and claim his charge. He handed me a pouched handkerchief for safekeeping. In it, he told me, was the savings, some $200, belonging to Kid Yancey.
Kendall, I hear the owl hooting high. Somebody's gone and stole my rudder.
Condition. Oh, think of the kid's maw, tearing and hollering for a boy who learned bad ways on account of there ain't no Nick Carmody to set him on the right trail. Ah, you go get him, Kim. I'll be waiting right here. Barkeep, another bottle of that nose paint.
No, look here. I say, come. You won't even listen to me.
You Comedy. Tell him Nick said listen or buy a whiskey, I'll hang up his hide. You tell him that.
Yes, but it's really none of my business.
Oh, you wouldn't want to see a little calf go straying on this range, would you? We'd get eaten alive.
All right. But you stay here, Comedy. I'll bring him back in 2 minutes.
You should have been a Texan, mister.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Well, I'll be Mr. Well, Kendall, honey.
Well, of course, you're Millie.
That's right, up in Helena.
Big Sam's friend.
His used-to-be friend.
Oh?
Yeah, after what happened between you and him and the judge putting him in the hoosegow, he ain't got no friend no more. He lost all his money, too.
He's not here in Cheyenne.
I'll say he ain't. Last I heard, he was mule skinning for an outfit in Utah. Oh, I swear you sure ain't things a bit, Mr. Kendall, baby. What are you doing in these parts?
Oh, still writing. And you, Millie?
Oh, well, I got me a job. I kind of work here in Bill's place.
Ah, I see. Yes, that's... Oh, good Lord, I forgot. There's a young fellow in the barber shop. I've got to bring him back.
Oh, gee, well, it's sure swell seeing you again, Mr. Kendall.
And you, Millie?
I sure never did think I'd see you again, Mr. Kendall.
Millie, I hope you won't think I'm being rude, but...
Oh, honey, I never think you was rude. Now, let you and me go round up that kid. Then you come back and buy me a drink, and we'll talk about old times. Oh, them Texas boys. They sure do love to shoot off them things. Just like big, bad...
I'm going to get the law down on you.
100 toughest wallets killing the West.
Now stop it.
Well, I'm hungry. I bites off the noses of live Comanches.
Hey, howdy, Mr. Kendall. Whoa. Hey. Howdy, ma'am.
Your friend is waiting for you at the saloon.
Just look at all he's done. Shooting up my place. I told you, mister. I told you what they was like.
I was just doing some target practice, is all.
I've got your money here, kid. You better pay for the damage.
Sure. How much, mister?
Well, I figure $5 ought to cover it.
Here.
How much obliged for the wool clipping, mister?
Oh, yeah.
Say, ain't you going to introduce me to your friend there, Mr. Kendall?
Yes. Millie, this is the kid, Mr. Yancey.
Howdy, Mill.
What do you say, kid?
Well, I heard tell they got some mighty pretty fellas in the north, but I never did reckon on finding anything like you.
You ain't got a lot of years in you, kid, but you sure learned how to use them talking to a woman.
You better give me that money to hold for you, kid. I'll give it back to Carmody.
Oh, there's $200 in there. I ain't to have myself a time with it.
$200, my. That's a heap of money.
Yes, ma'am. Fellow ought to be able to have a heap of fun with it.
Why don't you wait out here? Millie and I will bring Carmody out.
Heck no, we're all going in. I'll be obliged if y'all take my arm, Miss Millie. Ma'am.
Why, kid, honey, I'd be honored.
We went into Bill's place, Millie and the kid walking a pace ahead of me. They made quite a picture. Millie, as I've described her before, a woman of rather extraordinary proportions. I should guess that she was some 5'10" in height, and suffice to say that her frame was amply covered. Her escort, Kid Yancey, stood 5'8½" in his boots, and dripping wet, could have weighed no more than 130 pounds. Millie's arm was linked through the boy's in what appeared to be a grip of iron. She had seen the $200 and wasn't about to let it slip away from her. The kid and Millie found a table, and I brought a thoroughly befuddled Nick Carmody over to join them.
Here's to Texas.
Your mother could see you now, kid.
Here's to Texas. Dynamite, ain't it? You gotta drink it down fast, kid, honey, else you're likely to rot your teeth out.
Your kid's got a mother. Sweet gray-haired old lady.
Oh, everybody's got a sweet gray-haired old mother, honey. Don't you fret none. I'll take care of him just like he was my own kin.
Millie, you are a wicked woman.
Well, you watch your language, mister. Ain't no one gonna talk to this here lady like that.
Oh, that's all right, kid, honey. Mr. Kendall and me, we're old friends from up Montana territory.
Now, I wouldn't drink any more of that if I were you, kid.
Oh, now, shoot, Mr. Kendall ain't had but a sup. I figure it's time I was growed up. Oh, heck, when we was up in Dodge, all the fellas was painting their noses good, all except me. I had to stay in camp. Same thing every place we went. Well, I reckon things is gonna be different now. Ain't that so, ma'am?
Oh, jeez, you're a big boy now, kid.
I broke my sweat, his poor old ma. You drinking and carrying on with women?
Oh, now, ain't your fault, Nick. Hey, you know what? I'm hungry. You all hungry, ma'am?
Well, now you mention it, I don't recollect having had nothing to eat yet this morning.
Hey, they got any grub in this place?
Why, sure, honey. You tell little Millie what she wants. She'll get it for you.
Eggs! How about $20 worth of eggs? How about that, Nick?
Yes, sweet old mother crying her eyes out.
You, Mr. Kendall?
I don't think so, thank you.
I'll tell the cook, honey boy.
Well, now, ma'am, that's mighty kind of you. I'm coming with you. I'd sure
admire
to tell the cook how I like my eggs.
Why, sure, kid. Don't go away, Mr. Kendall. We'll be right back.
Oh, Miss Miller, you sure got the most beautiful eyes I ever
did. Comedy. Nick. Nick, wake up.
Hey. You little gray mother hair.
Wake up.
Where's the kid?
As far as I can determine, he's gone off to supervise his eggs.
Eggs? Well, what's he doing with eggs?
Eating them, I should imagine.
Oh, I'm a goon. 6 years. 6 years I've been working for old man Yancey. Now let his only kid go the way of sin. Whiskey and women. Oh, I'm going to Kendall. Might as well start looking for a new spread. Yancey won't take me back for sure when he finds out.
Hey, Nick. Nick.
That's Devlin. I guess this is the last round. That's Trail Boss.
Where's the kid, Nick?
Oh, he went to get some grub.
Thought you had orders to stick close by him. You've been drinking.
Me? Oh, shucks, Dad. Oh, say, this here's Mr. Kendall. He's a newspaper man.
Yeah, howdy.
Mr. Devlin,
are you sure the kid's all right, Nick?
Oh, sure, I'm sure. Why shouldn't he be? He's just gone to fix himself some eggs.
Well, you watch him, Nick, because if anything happens, you'll be putting your saddle in the wagon.
Oh, I know it, Dad. I surely do know it. So don't you worry. Ain't nothing gonna happen to that little boy. No, sir.
As to what did happen to that boy, I must take the word of Millie. In effect, the following events took place. First of all, Kid Yancey and Millie left Bill's place through the kitchen exit. The kid evidently found that the chaperone was something that he could well dispense with. On their way to the Silver Dollar, he stopped at a street corner and became enthralled with a three-card Monte thrower. A small crowd was gathered around watching this expert card sharp.
Here you are. The ace of diamonds is the winning card. Here it is. Follow it, gentlemen and lady. Follow it with your eyes as I shuffle. Here it is. And here. And now here. And now here. And now where? The game is simple. You win if you point it out the first try. You lose if you can't. Here it is. Simple. Watch it again. The ace of diamonds is the winning card.
Hey, did you see that, Mill?
Oh, come on, honey boy. You don't want to play that. Ain't on the devil, just a sudden.
No, it ain't. I saw the ace. I could have picked it right off.
I can think of better ways to spend your money.
Well, sure, but there's plenty of them.
Come on, why don't we go down to the Silver Dollar, kid, baby? I bet you ain't never drunk champagne, have you?
No, I ain't too before I'm through and shine.
Oh, let's go, honey. He ain't nothing but a shot.
All right, in a minute. I gotta watch this fella.
Oh, you're gonna make me a real unhappy.
I'll bet you. $20, huh? I'll bet you.
Ah, here's a man with guts. Yes, sir. Pull her up. Put it up. All right, now, the ace of diamonds. Here it is, and here, and here, and here. Now, where is it?
Right there.
Sorry, my friend,
It is there.
Sure, that's it. Sure it is. Now, I reckon you pay me $20, huh, mister?
Yeah, that's right, boy. $20. Maybe you'd like to try it again for, say, 50?
Sure, ain't nothing to it.
Aw, kid, I bet your ma don't like you gambling. You come along with me now.
Yeah, 50 it is. Find the ace. The ace. Here it is, and here, and here, and here, and here. Now, where is it?
There, I swear. There.
Ha!
What'd I tell you? Shucks, this ain't no more than shooting the head off a chicken with a scatter gun. Hey, you all play some more, mister. There's another 50 you owe me.
They played some more. And when it was over, the card sharp packed up his table and stole away, poorer by some $300. The kid explained to Millie that he had played the game in Texas when he was 6 years old. and that he always won. It was as simple as that. I didn't see Kid Yancey again for 3 days, and that was for only a few minutes before Nick Carmody and the other men of the trail outfit were about to set off once again for Texas. The kid rode up on his cowpony, looking very tall in the saddle. By his side walked Millie, a very thoughtful, subdued Millie. The trail boss, Devlin, and Nick exchanged a relieved glance.
Hey, kid, I thought we was going to believe in you in Cheyenne.
Not me, Nick. I got to get back to Ma and Pa. Hey, how are you, Mr. Kendall? Real nice of you to come and see us off.
Not at all, kid. We were worried about you.
Why, shoot, there wasn't nothing to worry about. Was there, Mill?
No, there weren't. Nothing.
Well, kid, let's roll the cotton. Come on, boys.
Goodbye, Nick.
So long, Mill. Here. You buy yourself a pretty, huh? You take it easy there, Kendall.
And you.
$100. He gave me $100.
I'm amazed he had anything left.
Oh, he had plenty left, Mr. Kendall. You come buy me a drink. I'll tell you all about it.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Eddie Firestone, Gene Carson, Jack Moyles, Vic Perrin, and Charles Seal. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
Frontier Gentlemen on Tuned to Yesterday from July 6, 1958 on CBS. In the New York City area, it was broadcast at 7 o'clock in the evening on WCBS. Other shows you could have tuned into at that same time on WRCA, NBC's monitor. On mutual affiliate WOR, it was Dr. Billy Graham. Or on WQXR, the New York Times News, followed by Adventures in Sound with Hi-Fi Music. This is an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for James Stewart as the Six Shooter in an NBC broadcast from March 21st, 1954.
In a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many fine programs brought to you Sundays on NBC. Later this evening, listen to the NBC Star Playhouse with one of your favorite stars. Hear Meet the Press, America's number one newsmaking program. And be sure to keep tuned for the dramatic story of communism in America on Last Man Out. A wonderful lineup of great programs, all of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter. A transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett. the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. But first, I want to be sure that all of you know that beginning next week, we change our day and time of broadcast. Instead of Sundays, we'll be on the air Thursday evenings. In other words, our next Six Shooter program will be broadcast Thursday, April 1st, and every Thursday thereafter. For time of broadcast, please consult the listing in your local newspaper. We hope you like our new Thursday evening time. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
Oh, I hope. Wes? Wes!
What are you hollering about, Jim Cassidy?
I'm looking for Wes, Miss Singer. You know where I can find him?
Lockwood, maybe.
No, ma'am. He ain't in town this morning. I just come from there.
The jail in Lockwood. That's where he might be.
Now, Miss Singer, Wes ain't in jail no more. That's all over now.
All over?
Sure. And nobody's apt to try arresting him again, either.
They'll arrest him again, Jim, someday. Don't make no mistake about that. They'll arrest him or they'll kill him.
We all gotta go sooner or later, Granny.
Oh, Wes,
but if I was as close to my time as you are to yours, I wouldn't be talking about killing and dying so much.
Your time's closer than you think, Wes. Maybe even closer than mine.
Doggone it, Wes. She told me you wasn't even to home.
Ah, Granny's getting cantankerous in her old age, that's all. Well, what do you want?
Nothing special. I just thought maybe you'd like to know Britt Ponsett's in Lockwood.
Ponsett?
Yeah. He's staying at the hotel.
Well, why didn't you say so before?
Well, what's the difference? You wasn't serious the other day. Why, Wes, you couldn't have been. He's the six shooter.
You'll find out whether I was serious or not. I'll be in Lockwood at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Maybe Ponsett will be gone
by then. He won't leave. Not if he hears I'm coming in to pay him a visit.
You mean you want folks to know what you're aiming to do?
Sure, why not?
Well, Sheriff Hittleman ain't gonna like the idea. He made that plain enough last week.
You think I'd let Ben Hittleman get in my way? Well, I grant you it wouldn't mean much, killing an old geezer who should have been put out to pasture 10 years ago.
Wes, you...
But if he asks for it, I reckon I'll have to oblige him. Now go on, spread the word. We ought to draw a good-sized crowd, the six-shooter and me.
Well, as soon as we'd finished fencing in the last couple of thousand acres on the Tip Top Ranch, old man Jeffers sent me into Lockwood to get some signs printed up. He wanted everybody to know that he owned the biggest spread in this part of the state, and he figured posting these signs every quarter of a mile or so would do the trick. Of course, the word had to be just right. He wrote it all down so I wouldn't forget it. Tip Top Ranch, property of Rex Jeffers. Keep out. This means you. Trespassers will be shot at sight. If you ain't able to read this notice, keep out anyway. Rex Jeffers means what he says. Signed, Rex Jeffers. It's Thursday night when I got into town and the office of the Lockwood Clarion was closed. But first thing Friday morning, I headed over to give Pete Drum the order. Pete was the owner of the Clarion.
What in thunder is Rex thinking of, Britt? Folks all know the tip-top starts in and where it leaves off. Besides, I thought he had a fence around it now.
He has, but I guess maybe Rex feels that ain't enough.
Oh, 2,000 posters, just so we can see his name in print. All right, I'll do them. But it'll cost him $15, that's my price.
$15?
Can't be done for a cent less. Paper's expensive, Britt.
Well, how soon do you figure you can get at it, Pete?
Oh, I don't know. I got me a few more of these auction handbills and all. Okay, then I suppose I can shift over to your order. Yeah, and it's a good thing you're coming to town today.
Right? Oh?
Monday I start getting ready for next week's paper. That ties me up clear into Thursday morning. And the way things have been happening around here lately...
Well, what do you mean, Payne?
Now, don't tell me that you ain't heard.
No, can't say I have.
Well, sir, Lockwood's got a brand new gunfighter.
Oh, gunfighter?
Just a kid, but he's faster than grease lightning. The first thing you know, Wes Singer will be just about as well known as Sam Bass or Bill Longley or any of the rest of them deadeyes.
Wes Singer?
Uh-huh. Two killings in less than a month. That's what he's got to his credit so far.
Mm-hmm.
Wyatt Barker. He was the first. Wyatt and Wes got into some kind of a mix-up over to Charlie Jensen's place. Well, sir, Wes beat him to the draw and pumped four shots into Wyatt's body before it even hit the floor.
You don't say.
And afterwards, he just stood around there and he waited for Sheriff Hittleman to take him in for questioning. Why, he acted like he didn't have a worry in the world. And as things worked out, he was right. There wasn't nothing the sheriff could charge him with, seeing as how Wyatt was already drawing his gun when Wes cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess that's enough of them handbills now. Yeah. Now, what happened to that paper you gave me, Brett?
Oh, that?
Do you know the wording on it for your poster?
Oh, here it is. Right here.
Thank you. Let's see. I suppose Rex Jeffers wants his name in the biggest type I've got.
Yeah, I reckon he'd like to have it stand out good and plain.
Oh, yes, he would. Well, I guess this'll have to do. It was big enough for Lincoln's assassination. It ought to be big enough for Rex. Anyhow, like I was saying, folks just didn't know what to make of Wes Singer and the way he killed Wyatt Barker. They wasn't sure whether it was one of those times when a young fella just sort of flies off the handle and then settles down again afterwards. Or if Wes would take up gunslinging for a whole career. And about 10 days later, they found out.
Uh-huh.
It was on a Wednesday when he come riding down Main Street again. And we was all kind of curious to see how he'd behave. So some of us sort of moseyed over to Charlie Jensen's place when he went inside. And we'd no more than got there before he was in a mix-up with Todd Apple.
That's so.
Britt, I tell you, if I hadn't seen it myself, I wouldn't have believed it. Wes outdrew Todd by almost a full second. Now, you've got to give the devil his due. Wes Singer is a fast man with a six-shooter. And I ought to know, I've seen the best. I've seen that gun of yours in action, Brett.
Well, that was some time ago.
Oh, you're still walking around on your hind legs? That's a pretty good sign you ain't completely out of practice.
Well, what about the sheriff? Didn't he arrest young Singer after the second shooting?
Oh, sure. He arrested him. Take a look at last week's clarion. Oh, it's right there on the counter behind you there.
Hmm? Oh, so Wes Singer acquitted. Jury finds Todd Apple killing was self-defense. Huh.
Well, I guess they had to rule it that way since both men was armed, but... Sheriff Hittleman, he sure didn't like it. He told Wes the next time he come into town stirring up trouble, he wouldn't be alive for no trial afterwards.
Well, Ben Hittleman's a man of his word. Singer ought to know that.
Sheriff ain't as young as he used to be, Britt. And he slowed down some these last few years. He slowed down a lot. Well, you take last winter when he went after Jake Gordon. If Jake's gun hadn't been jammed, Ben wouldn't be here now. And believe me, Jake couldn't hold a candle to young Singer. Oh, no. Not a candle. Doggone it, what happened to that other cave? I was sure I had two of them.
Yeah, speaking of the sheriff, I think maybe I'll wander over and see how he's getting along. His office still around the corner?
Yeah, same place as always.
I'll drop back and see you later, please.
Okay, Britt. But you take it easy.
Well, Lockwood never had been what you might call a real peaceful town. They'd had their share of gunfighters and shooting, no doubt about that. But Ben Hillman, he'd managed to keep things pretty well under control, so I figured he'd find some way of handling this Wes Singer. As I turned the corner, I got a little glimpse of Ben through the side window at his office. He was putting on his hat, getting ready to go out somewhere. Well, George Pete was right. Ben had aged, even more than I expected. He was carrying some extra weight and around his middle, too. Maybe that's what made him look shorter than I remembered him. His mustache had turned to kind of a brownish gray. Well, I opened the door and stepped inside. And for a minute or so, Ben didn't say anything. He just sort of stared at me, frowning. And then he sighed and took off his Stetson.
Hello, Britt.
Hi, Ben.
I heard you was in town. I'm just going to start looking for you.
Oh, well, I guess I saved you the trouble, huh?
Yeah. How long you figure on staying in Lockwood, Britt?
Well, the rest of the day, maybe part of tomorrow. If depends on how fast Pete Drum finishes up some printing he's doing for me. What's the matter? You anxious to get rid of me?
No, no, no. If you were to run off now, that'd turn him into a holy terror for certain. Say you left because you were scared of him. You know, hold him back after that.
Well, now, just what the Sam Hill are you talking about, then?
You ever hear of a fellow called Wes Singer? Lives out east of town?
Yeah, yeah. Pete was just telling me about him.
Well, it seems he's spoiling for a gunfight with you.
With me?
Yes.
Why, I never laid eyes on the man in my life.
Well, he knows you, at least by reputation.
Oh.
He got to shooting off his mouth the other day, telling some of his pals how he could out-trigger any man in the state. One of the boys who was listening brung up your name, said he'd bet you could teach Wes a few things about slapping leather.
I see.
Of course, Wes had to back up his bragging. He told him if he was ever to come around Lockwood, he'd show him who was the best shot. He'd show everybody.
Oh, well, I imagine that's just so much talk.
At the time, maybe. But you're in town now. And if Wes don't do something about it, well, he ain't gonna look like much. Besides, you're kind of a tempting target, Britt.
Hmm? Well, what are you talking about, Ben?
You're the six shooter, aren't you? Any young gunfighter who put a bullet into you, well, that'd give him a real claim to fame.
Oh, well, it's crazy, Ben. He doesn't have any cause to pick a fight with me.
They're all crazy, Britt. Gunslingers like Wes. The idea of getting killed themselves, it don't even enter their heads. If it did, they wouldn't be gunslingers. Well, you better get over to the hotel.
Hmm?
The word is Singer will get to town around 4 o'clock. I want you out of the way until I've finished with him.
Until you finish with him?
I warned him the next time he come into Lockwood and the prod, he'd have to answer to me.
Oh. You gonna shoot it out with him?
If I have to.
You sure you can handle him, Ben?
Of course I can. No, Britt. No, I ain't sure. He's young. He's awful fast.
Yeah, that's what Pete said.
But I gotta try. If it turns out that I ain't still man enough, well, I always knew that sooner or later one of them would come along who was younger and faster.
Now, listen, Ben, you know, he's gunning for me, not you.
That ain't the point, Britt. I'm the one who laid down the law. Told him what I'd do if he ever tried to pull off another shooting spree.
Sure, I know.
So it's my job to stop him. Oh, you might be a better match for Wes. I don't deny that. And if he should get past me, not that he will, you understand, but if he should, well, then...
Yeah?
But I just couldn't step back and let you take him on first. Why, folks would never pay no heed to me afterward. They'd say I'd talked big to Wes, but it was your gun he'd listen to. You see my point, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I see your point, Ben.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six shooter in just a moment. Of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
You sure couldn't blame Ben for feeling the way he did. He was the sheriff, and if Wes Singer came into Lockwood bound and determined to have another gunfight, well, Ben would just have to take a stand, that's all. And I sure didn't like the idea. A young fella I'd never even met up with was gunning for me, and somebody else was going to try to hold him off. No, that's just been... Not that I was anxious to get mixed up with him or anything, but I just... Well... Anyway, as long as Ben had made up his mind, there wasn't much I could do about it one way or the other, at least for the time being. So I moseyed over to the hotel. The clerk stopped me as I was passing the desk. He pointed to a woman sitting on the other end of the lobby. He said she'd been waiting for me to come in. Elderly lady,
white hair, a wrinkled yellow face with a blue straw bonnet tied under its chin. Ma'am,
Yes?
My name's Ponsett, ma'am. Britt Ponsett.
Oh. Would you mind sitting down here, Mr. Ponsett?
Sure.
It's about Wes.
Oh, yes.
Wes Singer, that is. I'm his grandma.
I see, uh-huh.
You know what he aims to do this afternoon, Mr. Ponsett?
Well, I'd heard some talk about it, yes, ma'am.
It ain't just talk. He means it. He means to kill you.
Now, don't get too upset about it, Miss Singer. There's probably won't be any trouble between me and Wes.
What do you mean?
Well, Sheriff Heddleman will be waiting for him, and if Wes starts anything, he'll more likely land in jail.
There ain't no jail could hold him anymore. And Ben Hittleman won't be able to arrest him again, neither. He'll shoot Ben without batting an eye.
I'm afraid I don't understand you, Miss Singer. I figured you were worried about Wes. I thought that's why you wanted to talk to me.
Worried about him? I'm worried about all the men he's going to murder if somebody don't stop him. Men like Wyatt Barker and Todd Apple. Ben Hittleman, he'll be next.
Uh-huh. Well, just what is it you want from me, Mrs. Singer?
I want you to kill Wes. I want you to shoot him down like you'd shoot down a mad dog. You're the six shooter. You're the only one who'd have a chance against him.
Well, now, Sheriff Hittleman's the law in this town, Mrs. Singer. It ain't up to
law. Me. What kind of law is it that turned Wes loose after his other killings? He ain't fit to live, Mr. Ponsett. Maybe it's my fault he turned out the way he did. Maybe if his ma and pa had been here to raise him. But they wasn't. I've done my best.
Of course you did, Miss Singer. Of course.
He couldn't have been born mean. The meanness wasn't in his blood. I don't know how it got into him.
Uh-huh. Well, sometimes it's pretty hard to explain a thing like that.
There's only one way he can end up. He'll be killed sooner or later. I'd even thought about doing it myself. Maybe it's my duty.
No, you shouldn't be talking like this, ma'am.
You've got to kill him, Mr. Ponsett. Today, this afternoon, before anybody else's blood is on his hands.
Well, now, I understand how you feel, Miss Singer, but my trying to kill Wes wouldn't... I just don't see how that'd be the answer.
Then what is the answer? I racked my brain, asked God's help, done everything I could think of. What is the answer?
Well, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm afraid I just don't know. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Mrs. Singer left the hotel. I watched her get into her buggy and drive off. She sat there stiff, tall, her eyes straight ahead, not looking one way or the other. And I waited until she dwindled down to just a little speck, and then I walked outside. There was a kind of a stillness in the air, like on a hot summer day just before a thunderstorm. The town was practically deserted. Nobody was in the stores, nobody on the street. Nobody but Ben Hittleman.
Britt, I told you to keep out of sight.
Yeah, I know, Ben.
Now, you get back to the hotel before it's too late.
I'm not waiting in the hotel, Ben.
What?
Now, I made up my mind. I've decided to take a little ride this afternoon.
Ride? What are you talking about?
Well, I thought maybe I'd head over that way, toward those hills over there.
And run right into Wes Singer?
Well, I suppose we might meet up if he's coming in that direction.
You know darn well he's coming from that direction. I told you he lives east of town.
Not that I think of it, I guess you did, yeah. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Now you listen to me, Britt.
Now, I have listened to you, and I see your point, Ben. If there's a gunfight here in Lockwood, or if it looks like there's going to be one, well, it's up to you to do something about it.
Well, ain't that what I've been telling you?
Sure, yeah. But on the other hand, whatever happens outside of town, beyond the city limits, that is, well, I don't see that that's any of your business.
Officially, no, but...
Well...
Britt, I won't let you do it. I know what'll happen between you and Singer. If you do get the draw on him, you'll hold off. You won't kill him. But if he gets the draw on you...
So long, Ben.
Britt. Britt!
I didn't ride very far, just a couple of miles. And I reined up near a clump of spruce. Whoa, boy. Whoa, Scar. Scar wandered around nibbling at some tufts of dried up grass. I settled down in the shade to wait. About 10 minutes later, I saw him coming toward me. Not hurrying, just plodding along, slow, easy like. Of course, I couldn't be sure that this was young Singer, but it seemed more than likely that it was him. And when he got close enough so I could see his face, well, there wasn't much doubt about it. He was young, all right. Appeared to be younger than his years, just a kid. Not a bad-looking boy, either. But there was something about his eyes, the way they kept darting from side to side, like an animal on the prowl. But when he saw me, he reined up and slid out of the saddle.
Howdy. You ride out here from Lockwood, mister?
That's right.
I hear Britt Ponsett's in town. Is that a fact?
He was in town.
Was? I might have known he'd run out on me. You got any idea which way he headed?
Yeah. I'm Britt Ponsett.
What?
That's right. There's something I can do for you. For a second, his eyes stopped moving and just stood there as if he didn't quite know what to do. But it didn't take him long to make up his mind. His right hand whipped down toward his holster so fast that it was all I could do to get hold of the shotgun before he finished his draw. And even then, it looked like he might just go ahead and squeeze the trigger, but he managed to hold himself back. We weren't more than about 8 feet apart, just staring at each other. His revolver aimed right at my face, and the shotgun I'd borrowed from Pete Drum pointing straight at his belly.
What are you trying to pull, mister?
How's that?
That shotgun. What's the matter with your six-shooter?
Nothing. Nothing at all. All right, go ahead. You've been telling everybody around town you're going to kill me. All right, go ahead. You couldn't miss me. Go on, you couldn't miss me, not at this range.
Sure, but...
But I'd still be able to let go with a blast, too, you know. Is that what you're worried about, Wes? And I guess it'd tear a pretty big hole through you.
I ain't afraid. You think I'm a coward, don't you?
I'll tell you one thing, I think. You know, you never faced up to the fact that you might get killed in one of these gunfights of yours. As long as you got off the first shot, you figured the worst the other fella could do was just to nick you, if he was lucky. All right. Now, you can get off the first shot now. But if you do, I don't need to be able to aim this shotgun. I just couldn't help hitting you.
You're loco, Ponson. We'd both be dead.
Yeah. Well?
You can't expect a man to commit suicide.
All right, I'm waiting, Singer.
You know there's no way to... You know I don't dare...
That's right.
But what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to put your gun away and get out of here. And you'd better not come into Lockwood again looking for trouble, because this isn't the only shotgun in town. After a minute or so, he turned and he climbed on his horse. And I don't know for sure what happened to him after that. I heard that he moved on farther west and finally got into a gunfight with somebody who outgrew him. I guess it was bound to happen, of course. I just don't understand what gets into a fellow like him.
Thank you.
this month before Easter, crippled children are making their annual appeal to you. They are appealing to you to continue to support the medical, therapeutic, educational, recreational, and vocational services which are indispensable to them. The services which are given by the Easter Seal Society in your community. Won't you answer the appeal of crippled children by giving generously to your Easter Seal Society? You may be assured that your gift will be used to provide services that would not otherwise be available to crippled children. Mail your gift today. You may send it to your local Easter Seal Society or to crippled children in care of your local postmaster. The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burke and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Elvia Allman, Sam Edwards, Will Wright, Howard McNear, and Bert Holland. Special music for this program was by Basil Adler, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. By the way, you'll be interested in knowing that the Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking and reminding you once more that next week, beginning April 1st, the Six Shooter will be heard on Thursday evening. Listen to Jan Murray in Sunday at Home on the NBC Radio Network.
The Six Shooter, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 21st of March, 1954 on NBC. And that does it for this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.